Hello and welcome to this British Journal of Surgery podcast. I'm Wendy Barnaby. Today we'll be discussing how to treat varicose veins, which was the subject of the August edition of the BJS and also features in the November issue. Things have changed a lot in the last 15 years since surgical stripping was the norm. These days, laser or radio frequency ablation and foam injections are all popular. So, what are the advantages and disadvantages of these methods? And which is most cost-effective? To discuss this, I'm joined by Professor Bruce Campbell, Dr. Dan Caradice, and Professor Julie Brittenden. Let's start with Professor Campbell, a vascular surgeon from Exeter in the UK, and who works for NICE, the National Institute of Health and Care Excellence. You wrote the leader for this issue of the BJS. How do the papers in it help inform clinicians dealing with varicose veins?
I think the first thing to say is that really they showed that there's no one clever answer and that clinically there's not very much to choose between the methods that we've now got available. I mean, like the NICE clinical guideline, they show that cost issues may have an important influence on the choice of treatment if we're striving for cost effectiveness, as the NHS must. Now, in that regard, they showed that logistics of treating patients, in other words, the precise strategies that vascular specialists use, whether to treat patients on one or more occasions, whether to try to obliterate every varicose vein and the like, is something they should think very carefully about, because treatment strategy may have a substantial influence on cost effectiveness.
Well, let's think about a few of the papers specifically. One is a systematic review of the evidence comparing the minimally invasive methods with surgery, and that suggests that there's little to choose between them, as you were saying, in terms of efficacy or safety, so the relative cost becomes very important. But then there's another paper about ultrasound-guided foam sclerotherapy, which suggests that that's most cost-effective. So how do you weigh all these conclusions?
Well, taking Katie Darvall's figures from the foam sclerotherapy paper at their face value, they do suggest a more durable effect from foam sclerotherapy than NICE assumed in its cost-effectiveness analysis. Added to that, the systematic review by Carroll and colleagues suggested that foam may be a very cost-effective option, even with a somewhat higher recurrence rate than other methods. So, you know, if you put those things together, they do tend to support the use of foam, and that should perhaps cause some pause for thought among the enthusiasts who very much back the use of endothermal treatments.
You mentioned the CLASS trial, the comparison of laser surgery and foam sclerotherapy, and we'll ask Professor Brittenden more about that. But can you tell us how important you think it is and whether it will change existing NICE guidelines?
Well, I mean, I think CLASS is a very important study. It's a major randomized trial. But I must say, I think that the longer-term follow-up of its large cohort of randomized patients is perhaps going to be its most important contribution to this debate.
Finally, Bruce, do you have a summary message for vascular surgeons who look after patients with varicose veins?
Well, I think the biggest message is that one size doesn't fit all. I think that the best treatment option varies from patient to patient, and we'd all do well to consider that, both when advising individual patients about treatment and perhaps also when designing future studies.
Thank you, Bruce, very much. Now, let's turn to Mr. Dan Caradice, an academic clinical lecturer at Hull York Medical School and a BJS editor assistant. Dan, you're a co-author of one of the papers in this issue. Would you like to tell us a bit about whether you think it's important to offer treatment for varicosities at the same time as the truncal veins are ablated?
Sure. This has been a very contentious issue in the past. Opinions being divided between those who believe that varicose tributaries resolve spontaneously following truncal ablation and those who've observed that in many cases this doesn't happen and patients continue to have residual symptomatic disease. We performed a pragmatic randomized trial where patients were randomized to receive either EVLA with concomitant phlebectomy or EVLA alone. After 6 weeks, patients in either group with residual symptomatic varicose tributaries were offered further local anaesthetic treatment if they wished. We found that venous severity and quality of life were worse in the EVLA alone group, and the groups did not become equivalent until around two-thirds of the patients in the EVLA alone group had undergone secondary procedures. After this, both groups remain the same until the completion of follow-up at 5 years. The only identifiable penalty from concomitant treatment was an increase in the procedure duration for a median of around 20 minutes. However, previously published patient preference studies have highlighted a strong demand for complete treatment in a single setting. I think the take-home message is that EVLA alone isn't a complete treatment in the majority of cases. It fails to deliver the maximum benefits in terms of both clinical outcomes and quality of life.
Well, that's not the only contentious issue in the management of venous insufficiency, is it? As a vascular trainee, what do you think this issue of BJS has taught you?
I think that the clear message from this issue is that whilst our knowledge and experience of the management of venous insufficiency has progressed hugely, much more work is needed. There's inconsistencies in the literature and differing interpretations continue to defy consensus as to the optimal management strategies. Finally, the technology itself isn't static. Existing procedures are being modified to reduce pain still further, and there are new methods of delivering heat and chemical agents, all with the aim of minimising discomfort and reducing recovery times.
Which methods of treating varicose veins do you think the modern vascular trainee should get to grips with?
That's a great question. I think it's possible that by the time many of the current vascular trainees become consultants, they'll be performing treatments which are yet to be developed. However, these treatments will be bespoke to an individual patient, performed under local anaesthetic, and will require skill in the use of ultrasound, inpatient assessment, procedural planning, and during the procedure itself. I therefore highly recommend that trainees gain as much training and experience in ultrasound as they can.
Thanks, Dan. Finally, let's hear from Professor Julie Brittenden, vascular surgeon from the University of Aberdeen and principal investigator for the CLASS trial. Julie, can you tell us a bit about the CLASS trial, please?
Yeah, certainly, Wendy. The CLASS trial is a National Institute for Health HTA program funded randomized trial in which we compared three different methods of treating varicose veins. These were surgery, foam sclerotherapy, and laser of the main truncal vein and subsequent foam to any residual varicosities that were required. So the study involved 798 participants in 11 UK vascular centres, and it was run by the Centre for Healthcare Randomised Trials and the University of Aberdeen. The primary outcomes were quality of life measured at 6 months and cost effectiveness, and the secondary outcomes included complications and measures of clinical success, and it's the cost effectiveness aspect that has been published in the British Journal of Surgery, or is about to be published, rather.
Yes, in the November issue. And these cost-effectiveness data are not the same as the ones from the systematic review that Bruce told us about earlier. Can you summarise the findings of CLASS and explain the differences?
So in CLASS, we found that compared with foam sclerotherapy, laser was more costly at 6 months. But obviously, you don't consider cost at 6 months as to what you would use in the NHS. So you look at cost-effectiveness. And we found that laser was more cost-effective at 5 years, as determined by a Markov model. Basically, it showed that laser had a 78% probability of being cost-effective at a ceiling willingness-to-pay ratio of 20,000 per quality gained, which is what we use in the UK. And the results are explained by the fact that in CLASS, there was a small gain in quality, that's the EQ5D, which favoured laser, and the recurrence rates were lower in the laser group compared to foam. And these were estimated recurrence rates. And I must emphasise there's a lot of uncertainty regarding recurrence rates after both laser and foam sclerotherapy. The rates we used were based on the most recent network analysis, which was undertaken in the NICE guideline on the management of varicose veins. In CLASS, we also found laser to be significantly less costly than conventional surgery and just as effective. So how does that differ from the review that was published in August? Well, they found that laser and also radio frequency ablation was not cost effective. And the main reason for the apparent difference are due to the use of different costs.
Yes. Is there more to come from CLASS?
Yeah, our clinical outcomes have been published in the New England Journal of Medicine on the 24th of September. And in CLASS, we were also asked to assess behavioural recovery. And to do this, we needed to design a questionnaire based on activities and behaviours that patients consider to be important, because there are no other questionnaires out there. And we plan to publish the results of this questionnaire in the near future. We're following the study participants to 5 years, as long-term results are important to determine the longer-term consequences, particularly the cost of treating recurrent varicose veins, of these three treatments.
Finally, Julie, is surgery for varicose veins dead and buried, do you think?
Well, this is an interesting question. I don't think that we've answered this in the CLASP trial, because in the CLASP trial, patients had to be suitable for all three treatment options. So therefore, we didn't include patients who weren't suitable for laser. And in fact, this only made up 18% of our patients were excluded because they weren't suitable, because they either had too small a vein or the vein was too tortuous. So while the CLASP cohort can't directly answer the question, our model does suggest in a head-to-head comparison, surgery may be cost-effective compared with foam. But again, this is quite uncertain, dependent on clinical recurrence rates. So when we excluded laser from the model, surgery had a 55% chance of being cost-effective versus foam. So I think it's too premature to say that surgery for varicose veins is dead and buried.
Well, thank you, Julie, very much indeed. And thank you for listening. Goodbye.